Samuel, chapter number 22, 2 Samuel, chapter number 22. And now we'll see what the Lord has in store for us tonight on our first worship service of 2018. Hallelujah. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Come by here, my Lord. Please come by here. Come by here, my Lord. Come by here. Oh, Lord. Come by here. Somebody's praying, Lord. Come by here. Somebody's praying, Lord. Please come by here. Somebody's praying, Lord. Come by here. Oh, Lord. Come by here. We really need you, Lord. Come by here. We really need you, Lord. Please come by here. We really need you, Lord. Come by here. Oh, Lord. Come by here. Oh, Lord. Come by here. Oh, Lord. Come by here. Hallelujah. Let's all stand as we read 2 Samuel chapter number 22. And we'll read one verse, number 31. I just want to share a few thoughts with you, and I hope it will encourage you as we've already entered into 2018. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter number 22 and verse number 31, of course, this is a song of David. David says in verse 31, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Let me read that again. As for God, his word is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, and he is a buckler to all them. Here's the key words here, guys. That trust in him. I want to talk tonight on this simple little thought, an optimistic view. An optimistic view. Father, I pray tonight for your help. I pray, God, you guide my mind and my speech and my actions. And I pray, God, that you'd help us to glean some things from this little, small, but yet powerful verse that we've just read. I pray, God, that you help us to be more optimistic about our view of 2018. I pray, and ask God, that you'd help us to see things in a different way than what the world or our flesh or what our physical eye might actually view upon. And for that, Father, we'll thank you as well. I pray, God, we'll be tonight encouraged. I pray, God, we'll be motivated, excited about this coming year, this year, now. I pray, God, that you'd help us. And for that, Father, we'll praise you. I pray, God, that you re-energize us. I pray, God, you stir us on the inside. Fire us up. And for that, God, we'll praise you. Lord, help somebody. And even if there's one among us who's not saved, blood-bought, born again. What a great day to receive Jesus as Lord, Savior, and King. Help somebody that's watching and somebody that'll be watching later. Know if there's anything else I may have left out, and I'm sure I have. I pray, God, you'll meet that need as well. For it's in your son's name we pray. God, fill the Holy Spirit. For it's in your son's name we pray, Father. Jesus, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. May be seated. An optimistic view. I was listening to something today, and they said, you know, basically, people are born, and they either have an optimistic outlook on things, or they have a pessimistic outlook on things. And I was like, you know what? I'm sure that God doesn't want us to be pessimistic, but I believe that God would have us be more optimistic in our view on the things we face from day to day. One reason I say that is because the Bible says that we walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Because sometimes what you see does look pretty pessimistic. But when you begin to think about what God has said, then you become very optimistic about what you're about to face in your life. The word optimistic means this. It means to take a favorable view of events or conditions and to expect the most favorable outcome. Let me say it again. To take a favorable view of events or conditions and to expect the most not unfavorable, but favorable outcome. The synonyms for the word are assured, are confident, are encouraged, are expected. The antonyms, the opposite, is dejected or depressed, or doubtful, or gloomy, or hopeless. Watch this, pessimistic. And sometimes, if I was to have a glass here, and it was half, it was half of water at the bottom and no water at the top, and I say, is it half full or is it half empty? Now, if you say half full, you're what? If you say half empty, but now are both not right? It depends on your outlook. Because if I say, man, the glass is half empty. Oh, man. But if I say, oh, man, it's half full. I still got some more left. It all depends on our view. And each of us has now, all of us have now entered into 2018. What is your view of this year? Is it optimistic or pessimistic? How do you see things? How are you looking down the road? You meet some people and it's like, man, this is going to be an awful year. Why you say that? Man, I had a flat tire yesterday. It's going to be horrible. And you know what? If you go through it like that, it's probably going to be horrible. But it might not be as horrible as you think it is. It all depends on your view. And my prayer is this, is that as we've entered into 2018, we're having a more optimistic view, not based on falsehood, based on truth. Now, go with me to Proverbs 18. Hold your place here, but go to Proverbs 18 and verse 14. A person who has a wounded spirit, that can cause us to have a pessimistic view of things. Now, look what the Bible says in Proverbs 18 and look at verse 14. 18:14 of Proverbs. This verse, sometimes it gets overlooked, but it's nonetheless still here. But look what the Bible says in verse 14. The Bible says the spirit of a man will do what? Sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Now look at it. The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. That word sustain means to support. The word infirmity means sickness. So notice something. The man has a sickness. There is a problem. But the Bible says the spirit of this man will hold him up. It will support him. It'll give him the strength to go on. But notice what it says next, though. But the Bible says this. It says here, but a wounded spirit. The Bible says, who can bear it? Who can lift it? Who can raise it? A person whose spirit has been afflicted, a person whose spirit has been broken, the Bible says, who can lift up that spirit? Who can bear it? Who can help them? Now, there's somebody that can help. Of course, we know who that is, but notice the point that's being made. If our spirit is not broken, you and I can be facing some tough stuff in life, but if our spirit's not broken, it'll help us to keep on going. But if our spirit has been broken, then it's like, you know what? I don't care what you tell me. I don't care what you're showing me. It's just like it's all gloomy. It's all doom. But the Bible teaches us that God does not want us to put our faith and our trust in what we see or what is literally happening right now. And let me give you a point what I mean by that. Let me give you a picture of that. When the children of Israel were at the Red Sea was real. It was there. There was no way to cross the Red Sea. When they looked behind them, they saw the army of Pharaoh. That was real. The reality was there was a Red Sea in front. The reality was there were soldiers behind them. And the reality was they were in the middle. But God helped them to get across the Red Sea. My dear friends, you might be facing a real Red Sea. You might be facing a real army that's behind you, that's closing in. And you find yourself about to suffocate. You find yourself hard to breathe. Your mind's being pressed, beyond press, beyond press. And all of a sudden, it seemed like it's about to explode. We had some balloons that they were blowing up at the winter camp. And after they blew the balloons up, you know how kids are. They grab them, and they start squeezing them. And when you squeeze them, pop, is what happens. And when it pops, it scares everybody. That pressure. What are you saying, preacher? Perhaps tonight, you and I might be under a lot of pressure, and we're just about to pop like a balloon. But notice, when a balloon pops, it can't be repaired. That thing blows up. It's ripped into shreds. But we've got a God who wants to help us not to explode, not to pop. Now go back with me. I'm going to give you three things. We're done. The first thing I'm going to show you back in 2 Samuel, chapter number 22. This is a song that David wrote. David wrote this, my dear friends, and if you read the whole chapter, he talked about a lot of things that he faced, a lot of times that God delivered and God rescued. But in this verse right here, one of the first things I see here, my friend, says this: as for God. That word God, by the way, means almighty. That means there's somebody that has almighty power. There's somebody that has unlimited resources. There's somebody that's able to do what no one else is able or capable of doing. And it is God. And most of the Lord says, number one, he says this: as for God, his way is perfect. Number one, the way of the Lord is perfect. That word way here, my dear friends, it means road, it means journey, or it also means path. God's road he has for us, God's journey he has for us, God's path that he has for us is perfect. The word perfect means complete, it has integrity, it is truth. God has a road for everybody. God has a journey for everyone. Now, some of us took different routes to get here, but you had to take a certain route because of where you lived. I'm guessing Heather and probably took maybe, did you take Ridge Road? Which ridge y'all come? Okay, climb to Expressway, then got off at Burr, and then 25th or 24th? 24th, then came down, got to Fairbanks, made a right. Okay, Melissa, how'd you come? Okay, you came down 94, got off of where? Burr, then you got to Burr, 25th or 24th. 24th, and came on down Fairbanks, got here. Okay. Patrick, how'd you come? Straight down 15th. What'd you do next? Turn on Clark. And then went where? Then went 24th, came out 24th Fairbanks. Then turned right. Notice something they all have in common. They had to get to Fairbanks. There was different ways for each of them to get to Fairbanks. But eventually, they had to get on Fairbanks in order to come to Sunrise Church. Now, my dear friends, now what Melissa could do is say, you know what? I'm going to take the way that Heather takes. So she could took A94 and went all the way to Klein Avenue and then did a U-turn and come back down 8094 and then get off at Burr Street and said, wow, I took part of the way that she came. But that would have made sense, would it? The Lord has a route. Listen to this, guys. The Lord has a route. The Lord has a journey. He has a path for each of us, my friends. And the path that you have and the path that I have may be different paths, but we're going to the same destination. We'll reach home base, my friends. And home base is where God is located. But God has a route for every single person. Don't take somebody else's path. Don't take somebody else's route. Take the route that God has laid out for you. Because God's route, God's way, God's road, God's path is perfect. It's complete. It'll get you to where you need to get to. The question is, we want to take God's way or not? Now we're talking about preacher. What about what's happening in your home? What's happening in your family? God has a way for each of us to get victory. But will we take God's way? Well, I've been taking God's way. Well, that sounds really up, you know. You know what I'm saying? And the thing about it, my dear friends, is when you begin to read and study the scriptures, there is a way that God has for us, but there's also a way he wants us to travel down that way, amen? How are we going down the way that God has prepared for us? Sometimes we go reluctantly. And then we'll find ourselves like old Jonah in the belly of a fish. He still wound up going to Nineveh, but he took the long way around. He could have said, God could say, go to Nineveh. So, okay, heading to Nineveh. But instead, I ain't going to Nineveh because I don't like them people. Now, we might say, I don't like the way that God wants me to do this. How I want to handle it is knock on somebody's door and grab them by the throat and choke them. That ain't the way. For example, this keeps flashing my mind, but I was talking with Jolene. Was that today or yesterday? I think it was today. I made the status today. But we was talking. I don't know what I was saying to her. I probably gave her some good instructions. Amen. And then she stopped me. And she said, you know what? I said, what? She said, I just visualized myself headbutting you. And I was like, yeah, Jolene, pastor's wife. But she didn't headbutt me, praise God. Because I was a little bit upset. Listen. But you know what? She was doing like a lot of us. God says, this is the route to take. This is the way I want you to go. And we don't want to go that way. We don't really want to headbutt God, but we want to butt against what he's saying, though. You know, this, I'm just using it for illustration. Y'all calm down. We all right. But nonetheless, though, but a lot of times, my dear friends, God has a route for us to take, but we don't want to go that way. I don't want to do it like this. I ain't praying for my enemies. I ain't loving on nobody. I'm not going out my way to try to help nobody. Well, how do you want to take this way? This way is going to be pretty rough if you don't do it the way God says do it. It's amazing how we do it the way God says do it, how things begin to work out like they're supposed to. But see, sometimes because we live in a microwave society, we want to fix now. I want to put it in the oven for 10 seconds, and it's not ready yet. But when you do home cooking, when some of y'all make it from scratch, what was that stuff you made, you gave us a few weeks back? Yeah, that was good. That friendship bread was good. But then that other one, that was that fudge. That thing was wicked. That was wicked. I can still see that. I mean, it was wicked. It was so good. Listen, my dear friends. But you know what? I'm sure you didn't go up to the store and buy that, I'm assuming. No. You put some time in. And there was some work behind it. It was some effort, you know. And there probably been times, depending on how much you made, you'd be like, I bet some of folks ain't going to enjoy this fudge. They better eat it all. Okay. I bet not find none in the garbage can. I bet not find, you know what? But that stuff tastes so much good when it's homemade. It's prepared. It takes time. And the Bible says to us right here, my dear friends, I'm trying to show us how to be optimistic, have an optimistic view. The way of the Lord is perfect. It's right. But then secondly, the word of the Lord, the Bible says, is tried. That word tried here means to be pure. But watch this. It means to test and to prove true. God's word is proven true time and time and time again. For example, let me show you this. The Bible says over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And look at verse number, I believe it's verse number 15. Listen to what the Bible says right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 15. Now, this is a principle. Now, this is what the word of the Lord says, and God keeps his word. Amen. Look at, make that second Corinthians chapter 9. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And look at verse number 6. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. We'll back up verse number 5. The Bible says this. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they will go before you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye have noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Here it is. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also what? Sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now let's look at this again. That word sparingly means stingily. Look at it again. The Bible says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly or stingily shall reap also sparingly or stingily. Now, we always automatically talk about the money part of it. But my dear friends, there's more aspects to that. You give love stingily. You give these types of, give mercy stingily. Give out forgiveness stingily. And you know what's going to happen? That's how you're going to receive it. Look what it says here. It says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. But watch this. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. That means generous. That means, listen, my dear friends, it's amazing how some people, all we got to do is say, man, I sure do need some help. It's amazing, man. Folks start flocking. But then some folks be like, man, I need some help. Now, why is that? It's like going to school. Some of us had teachers, man, we'd break our back for. Because they sometimes did things for us that they didn't have to do. But then some teachers is mean. You're like, man, I ain't doing nothing. Same thing with supervisors. There's some supervisors. We had supervisors once working towards our us named Minerva. I mean, Minerva came to me and she said, could you stay a couple hours? Man, I said, no problem. I might want to go home. But for her, man, it's because she wasn't one of them bosses that would be, I had one guy named, his name was Bob. I was working one day. I happened to see somebody's shoes sticking out like this. Because it was shelves here. I couldn't see who the person was. It was Bob. He was peeping at me to see if I was working. I just died laughing. Man, I'm always doing my work, but you know what? If Bob asked me to stay, I'm like, all right, no. I'm going to the house. Because he's always trying to find a fault, always trying to. He wasn't encouraging. What are you trying to say? Listen, the Bible teaches us, my dear friends, you'll be amazed. And when you and I follow God's program, there'll be folks that'll help you that you wouldn't even think would help. Now, I know somebody's saying, well, I help people all the time. Nobody wants to help me. Why are you helping people? This thing gets doubled. Are you only doing it for that reason? Or are you doing it because you want to be a help? Not looking for something in return. The Bible has a verse where it talks about how when somebody borrows something for you, don't look for it again. That's why when I loan out something, I'll be like, you know, I'm going to loan out this, and if I don't get it back, I don't get it back. But there's something I'm like, you know, now, like I tell these preachers, you know, I want my book back. But they know my own remember. I don't know who got the books, amen. And I don't even know it, Brad. Yeah, I'm going to Brad's house, and I see this stuff all on his shelf. Nice, neat, and in order. But anyhow, though, but you know what, though, hey. If I give somebody something to borrow, I'm like, I'm not looking for it back in return. What I'm trying to say is this. The word of the Lord is true. It's tried. If you say, man, like I'm always broke, do you give to God's work at all? Well, I do give here and there and there. You'll be amazed at how when you and I start giving to God, like the Bible teaches, he says, I'll open up the window of heaven and pull you out a blessing that you won't have enough room to receive. Because you know what? It's amazing how sometimes we could be making so much money and still be broke.
Right.
And then sometimes you might not have making a lot of money, but it's like you always have, you know? It doesn't seem like it just happens to be. It's like this past New Year's Eve. Listen, there's so much food at our house. It's like, okay, I can't eat all this stuff. I mean, it's just everywhere. It's like it's just everywhere. Y'all ever been everywhere, you know? I mean, we can't get in the refrigerator. It's like you're trying to, and I'm just gaining weight. I'm swelling up, walking around. I mean, it just, listen, I'll hold a lot of it in. That's what I'm doing. I'm about to die now. But nonetheless, but it's amazing how God begins to pour out stuff to you. It's amazing. I mean, sometimes, you know, and sometimes I'd be hesitant to say that I give an illustration about something. And the next thing I know, somebody's like, hey, I knew you had this going on. It was only illustration. I was using an example of how God did this. But it's like God just uses people to want to be a blessing to you. But it's because we're practicing God's word. God's word is true. And that's what helped us to have more optimistic view in 2018. It was, I'm going to follow the Lord's, not only his way, but also God's word. Let's go back over here. We're almost done. The Bible says this. The Bible says in verse 31, as for God, his way is perfect. Number two, The word of the Lord is tried, it's been tested, it's been proven over and over and over again. And the last thing I want to show us is this, the wonderful protection of the Lord. The Bible says he is a buckler, he is a shield to all them that halfway trust in him. Is that what it say?
Nope.
It says right here, he is a buckler, a shield to all them that trust in him. That word trust means to flee for protection, to confide in, to have hope. It's our hope in him. Yeah, I'm trusting God. I'm trusting. Are we really? Be honest with ourselves. Are we really trusting him? Are we trusting him part of the way? But if it don't seem to get the quick results that we want, it's like, well, I got to do something. I've got to fix this problem. I've got to listen. If God's not guiding you in that area, man, don't do more than what God told you to do. Do exactly what he tells you. But listen, I've been waiting on the Lord. And waiting on God don't mean sitting down. I understand that. But waiting on God don't mean getting ahead of God either. And sometimes we'll get ahead of God instead of us trying to follow God. I was talking to somebody the other day. And they said, you know what? I don't know if God wants me to, I was in West Virginia. So I don't know if God wants me to be a pastor or a missionary. I said, hold on. I said, what do you know? He said, God called me to preach. I said, start right there. Just be willing to preach. Do whatever God would have you to do. Don't try to look way down the road. Go with what God has already given you. Sometimes we try to just jump ahead. And God, all the God's given said, make this step. Okay, but what we're going to do 10 steps down? Stop. Just make this step right here. Then make the next step. Go with the light that God has given us. And we'll be amazed at how far down the road we get. Because a lot of times the flesh, and it's not like we're trying to do anything wrong. Because sometimes we think flesh, we think negative all the time. But sometimes, my dear friends, we're trying to do some right things, but going about it the wrong way. Instead, we say, wait a minute. Lord, I'm going to do what you've told me to do, what I know. That's what I'm going to go with. Start there, and you and I will be amazed. But see, all that takes trust. Because see, sometimes when you're following the Lord, Patrick may not understand. A lot of those, okay, Patrick, the Lord wants me to do this. He said, well, man, that don't make sense. I said, my brother, I know it don't make sense, but this is what he's telling me. Man, that's stupid.
Like, hey, look.
The Bible says, I can go on, but I just, this is all I know. So then what happens is this. You feel the pressure coming from other people. Good intentions. But you feel that pressure. But you know what he told you. But they're saying, nah, but you got to. I said, listen. Okay, all right. Then you go that route. Now you're not following God. You're following man. Now, what I'm saying is good intentions. Those guys, now we jump on these guys that came and talked to Job, but they really did have good intentions. They laid around with Job for several days not saying a word. And sometimes don't say nothing, just be there for the person. Try. And then later they start saying, well, Job, you know, this must have happened. You must have done something. It's like when something bad happens in our life, we're sharing what you do or what you didn't do. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Why all that bad stuff happen? Because sometimes we equate bad things happening with us doing something bad. Job did nothing bad. He was righteous before God. But yet all that stuff happened. All of this. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine. All your children dying the same day. All seven of his children. Seven, was it seven? Seven, right? 10. All 10 dying the same day. Somebody said, Job, you must have did something, man. God wouldn't allow that to happen to you like that. You've lost all your livelihood, all your job, everything's gone. Job, you had to have done something. Job, like, I ain't done nothing. And all your body's sores, all your body, you're scraping yourself, and everybody coming at you, looking at you, and all this stuff, this wife said, just cuss God, just die. Job, I haven't done anything. And then he started saying all other kind of stuff because he was hurting. But you know what? He still did not cuss God. And as I've said before, and I've heard it before, God gave him double for his trouble. He was able to tell his grandkids how God brought him through. But by the way, God never did come down and say, Job, this is why all this happened. All Job knew was it happened, and God did this toward the end of it. That's all that Job knew. What are you saying, preacher? The Bible says here, he is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Now, the word buckler means a shield. So you're not going to run to somebody to protect you unless you trust them. Somebody chased me with a gun, and then Joel's over there. I'm like, Joel, you got a gun? I ain't got no gun. I mean, I need somebody with a gun. Mike, you got your gun. Mike's, I got my gun. I'm running where Mike's at. I'm so sorry, Joel, no offense, but I need somebody to get a gun. I'm being chased. Amen. You know what? God says, you come to me. I'm your shield. But you're only going to come to me because you trust me. If you don't trust me, you're going to run to your job. I need more overtime. Or you're going to run over here and go this route. No, run to God. He'll protect us. Amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm talking about being optimistic in 2018. Let's not step into 2018 allowing all these fears. Our young people are talking about school and different things like that they got to face. You know what? And those things are scary. But in the midst of fear, trust God. In the midst of being afraid, trust God. And then realize, too, God says, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of a love and of a sound mind. All of us get afraid sometimes. But let's run to God and say, Lord, you got to protect me from my fear. Because when those arrows start coming my way, I need you to protect me. We've got a God that wants to help us. We're trying to say, preacher, let's be more optimistic in 2018. Let's not be pessimistic. We don't have to be. Let's trust God's word, trust God's way, and trust God's wonderful shield of protection. Two questions. What's our view of 2018? What's our current view of 2018? Second question is this. Are we truly trusting him? Now, only you can answer that question for yourself. Are we truly trusting him? I'm be honest tonight. There's certain areas of my life, Sharon, I don't have no problem trusting God. None. Not one iota. But in other areas, I'd be like, I don't know. Well, why is this? Well, not for me, when I research where I'm at, I go, you're not as much in here as you need to be. Not that you ain't in it at all, but you need to start finding some time to sit down and let's just read. Let's just meditate on the Word of God. Let's just spend some time in prayer. Let's come to God sometimes. We're out an agenda. We're out any type of pre-prayer planned, and just talk to the Lord. And maybe just come into altar. Just kneel. So, Lord, I'm here. It's even hard to think, Lord, hard to focus, but God, I'm here. I know if I come here, I'm going to get some help some kind of way. And you'll be amazed at the help that God will give us. But he wants us to trust him. Two questions. What's our view of 2018? Number two, are we truly trusting him? The last one's a simple thing. Let's cry out to God tonight. Cry out to God tonight. Somebody sent me a message, said, preacher, all I need you to do is to pray for me. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I said, you know what, bud? I'm going to pray for you, man. I'm going to pray for you. And I said, whatever God tells you to do, I'm praying that God give you the strength and the courage to do it. We need to pray one for another. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. And Lord, I've tried my best to give out what you gave to me to give out. And it didn't come out like I wanted to come out, but I believe it came out how you wanted it to. So I pray, God, you help each of us, Lord, be more optimistic about our future, about 2018, about what's going to happen tomorrow, about what we're facing in this life. Help us, God, not to be overcome by fear, but, Lord, help our fear to be overcome by faith and confidence, not in ourselves, but in the word of God, in your way, and, Father, in the wonderful shield that you had to protect us. I pray, God, you help each of us, and for that, God, we'll thank you. I don't know what to say, God, but we're trusting you. And if we say tonight, you know, I'm having a hard time trusting you, then, Lord, let's be like some of those disciples, or the young man, rather, the man, the father. He says, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. God, just help us, please. That's it. But, Lord, if anyone has come tonight for any other reason, maybe had another message, but then we'll come talk to you for tonight, I pray, God, they come. For it's in your son's name we pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Please come talk to the Lord for a few moments. Let's come talk to him, because he really does. I want him to talk to us. Page 200 in the white hymnal. The song says, without him, I could do nothing. And maybe if you come tonight and just pray and say, God, in 2018, help me to trust you more. Help me to try to follow you more than I did last year. Whatever the need is, you come on.
Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Please don't turn him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without him how lost I would be. Without him I could be dying. Without him I'd be enslaved. Without him life